Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams, and joining me there from New York is Mr. David Paxton. And this, of course, is our end of the week show, which we had really, David, pretty much used this as a current events, end of the week wrap-up thing for a while. But we've got so much interest in the rapture of the church, and because we know that the rapture is imminent. And every time I say imminent, I always get some kind of blowback from somebody saying, well, you're saying it happened now. You're calling your shot, right? No, I'm not calling my shot. I'm saying that everything that has been done, everything that has needed to be done prior to the rapture of the church has been done. So that means that it's imminent. It can happen at any time. And the Lord says to be to watch and to be ready. And that's what we're doing. And there's a lot of you out there that are watching these and listening to these. And you're obviously interested in it by the comments that we get. And so we're going to spend a lot of time today on just that, on the comments that we have received. And I think it's only fair that I begin today with Darlene Russo, because she commented several times on a show from last week when we were talking about the rapture of the church. And great comments, questions, and I want to get right to hers right away. Now, a lot of this, David, again, is from what you were talking about in a previous show. So it's kind of hard to go back and try to catch up.
Well, it's obviously bring the topic up.
Yeah, she said that she fully believes that once you start messing with God's protons, it's like poking him in the eye, and I believe that too, by the way, darling.
Yep.
He said, I believe that that happens if it's at the same time God will, at that point, change the transformation will take place. Do you want to comment on that? Because Darlene's got several here, and we're going to get to all of them.
Oh, okay. So, all right, so pick it again, because I was reading all of them.
It's
not a lot.
is messing with God's protons, is that a way of poking him in the eye?
Pronouns?
Protons. In other words, you're messing with.
Oh, I see what she's saying. Yeah, when she was watching one of the quantum physics verses.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, because I'm thinking. You know, my mind went to pronouns, but really the proton.
Right.
Well, yeah, actually, because now, just like he wants to, Satan wants to mess with our DNA because it's God's handiwork. By the same token, he wants to mess with all creation. So he can't make anything on his own. So if he's out there trying to manipulate, little subatomic particles, he can manipulate time and space and maybe change the storyline a little bit. He's trying every last thing he could do. Yeah. So that would make sense. Yeah, and that's obviously not going to fly. But, I mean, not for nothing, what else is he going to do? Right?
Well, I will say, Darlene, that I don't think it's like poking him in the eye. I mean, I understand where you're coming from with that. But whenever you read the Bible, it says that God sits in heaven and laughs. In other words, these people that are coming up with all these different alternatives, that are questioning, that are scoffers, that whatever, God just sits there and he says, look, I gave you the book. All right, I gave it to you. And so I'm going to laugh at all this stupidity. Think about it for a second. Exactly. Let's say that you bought a brand new car. Okay, and you've never had a car before in your life, but it's got an owner's manual. Okay, are you going to read the owner's manual, or are you just going to try to figure it out as you go down the road and hope it works out for you? David, you want to comment on my analogy there?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we as men, we know we don't ask for directions and we don't read the book. But I have learned as I got older, it's like, hey, maybe I should read the manual, do what it says.
Yeah,
exactly. If we knew that younger, but there's so many, I mean, they're like and I see atheists all over the place. They're like into evolution, and they get in the creation groups, and they argue with people. I'm like, well, if there's no God, why are you here wasting your time? Go live your life to the fullest, and you know, just live it up. It doesn't matter. You're all going to die. Oh, well, it's for posterity, and it doesn't matter. Your children are going to die. Everyone else is going to die. Mm-hmm. So none of it matters.
Yeah.
Just go out and but because they know God is there. But I don't think you're poking them in the eye so much, messing with, you know, atoms and all that. Where he really gets annoyed is when you mess with his children.
Yes.
Okay, that's poking them in the eye.
And by children, you're talking about Israel, right?
Well, all of them, you know, is don't Christians do that with included. Israel. Don't do that with the okay. you know, his bride, especially.
Yeah.
You know, and just don't mess with his kids.
Yeah. Mm. Now, another one here on the 24 again. Okay. This is she's breaking it down here a little bit. And this one is really interesting. I want you to comment on this. She says, I'm kind of seeing them all as a representative, 12 of the Jews and 12 of the Gentile believers. They all kind of take turns in the middle of the iris over eternity. I think we're going to have some disagreement on that one, right?
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Made-up doctrine.
Do you want to go into a little bit more detail on that? And again, now she's just looking at it from her, you know, for her reading of the Bible. We're not criticizing. We're just hopefully helping you to discover a little bit more. You know, you're always going to learn. I learn every day. David still learns every day, and he's been at it for 40-something years, you know. So please don't take any offense, but we disagree with the comment this time, and David's going to get into the reason that we disagree. Go ahead, David.
That is actually a church doctrine. I found it, the one you found you were talking about. I'm kind of seeing them as all as representative, 12 of the Jews, 12 of the Gentile believers. That has been a common interpretation. I wouldn't say it's a bad guess, but you really have to go back and I guess this. So let's go back and vet it out. Let's see if it's actually true.
Okay.
That's where you come into problems. Okay. There is nothing like that anywhere in the Bible, and you need corroborating evidence.
Okay.
So I'm not mad at you for thinking that, but it's when you pan it out, it just doesn't fly. It says 24, and people been trying to figure out that 24 for a long time. And the only thing we absolutely definitively know is that it is the ecclesia or representation of it, because they have crowns and they're kings and priests and they sit on thrones, which is only of the, you know, the church.
Right.
So,
Okay. So, we are going to stick with that. It's not a salvation issue. So, you know, don't beat yourself up over it. Okay.
No, that's just a gentle correction. She's just thinking. She's kind of sees him as that, and I can understand that, because I did examine that. But it was just so long ago now. But it was I was in the same spot. Okay. Well, is that 12 and 12? That makes sense. Let's look. So I looked.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Yeah. And again, the more you read, the more questions that you're going to have, and the more questions you have, the more answers you get, and then that leads you to more questions and more answers. And in other words, you need to read the Bible. It's, you know, it's pretty simple, you know, and
the answers are all in there. It's really wild.
There was somebody, I don't even remember who now, but they said, you know, anytime that you come across something in the Bible that you think is a contradiction, that means it's a good place to start your research.
Yeah. Be prepared to learn something.
Yeah. Because that's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's going to get cleared up for you if you will, simply read the Bible. And one thing I think it's important to say, David, is before you start, you know, you don't, I can't say that it's just has to be this way, but I think the best way to read the Bible is before you actually open it and you begin to read, that you say a quick prayer to the Lord and you ask for an understanding of what you are about to read. And I have found that to be extremely effective in my personal prayer life. I don't know if that's spoken of in the Bible. I don't know. Educate me on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we want. We want him to shine his light on it, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. says, ask and you shall receive. Come, right. let us reason together.
Right.
You know, and he tells things in parables because if you're an unbeliever, you're not going to understand it. Right. You know, that's why when you tell people, hey, it's in the Bible here and there, and they go, oh, that's crazy. That doesn't say that. It's because God blinded them, because they're not, you know, they're not honest in their heart and say, no, God, I really do want to know. Yeah. So, and I remember that specifically, even at 15 years old, when I was very angry with him, I was still honest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was honest about, you prove yourself to me then. If you're really there, you prove it. I was mad because I, you know, was living with a alcoholic parents and they would abuse me constantly. So I was very mad, but I was honest about it.
Right.
And that's where you have to be. If you're doubting, then you say, okay, God, if you're there, show me, because I'm doubting.
Right.
But that's not what most people do, especially if they think they're smart. You know, oh, you're smart. Where'd you go to school? It's irrelevant. I know people that never went to school and they're 10 times as smart as you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
it just means you're good at books.
I don't know how many of the original disciples had any education. For their day and time.
Well, Matthew.
There was a couple, but you know, for the moment, there was fishermen. There was a variety of, you know, I mean, and they're not, they weren't considered geniuses, I'm sure, in their day, but they saw everything and they wrote everything down exactly the way God told them to. And it has stood the test of time without a single error for over 2,000 years now.
But if you ask exactly that, if you ask and you have an honest heart, sincerely thinking, asking God to show you, he will show you, and you'll be surprised. And there'll be absolutely no way in the world you can explain it to anybody.
Right.
And that's how you'll know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Darlene had some nice comments about us, David, as far as, you know, she was glad we had the guts to have a show like this. And my response, response to that is, it's not guts. It's really not. We simply I can't speak for David. I feel I was called to do this show. And I was called to do my very best to spread the gospel through this medium. And I am blessed that David responded to me and agreed to come on and be a part of this show. And what we have tried to do is just be honest. That's it. That's all we have tried to do, is just open the Bible and tell people what the Bible says and let you know that, you know, even if the world says it's good and God says it's bad, I'm sorry, it's bad. If God says it's bad and the world says it's good, I'm sorry. You know, God is always going to take the number one spot, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be afraid to express that. Have I had videos taken down because of these beliefs? Absolutely. But thankfully, now as a member of the U.S. Press Association, it's a little bit harder because I do a lot of research and I got credentials, and it's hard for them to say, well, no, you can't say that. Yes, I can. I'm a citizen of the United States of America, number one. I'm protected by the Constitution of the United States, number two. But more importantly and above everything else, I'm protected by God Almighty, who tells me, go ahead and spread my gospel to the entire world. And that's exactly what I'm doing with Mr. David Paxton. David, you want to comment on that one?
Yeah, that's what we do. It's like I always say, I don't remember asking for your opinion. we just don't. You were here to do the Lord's work. And even the disciples, you know, when they were tossed in jail, they're like, hey, we're going to lock you up if you don't stop talking about Jesus. And he's like, let me ask you a question. You think we should listen to you, or think we should listen to God? And that's exactly where I stand. Whatever happens, we're going to do what God called us to do, because you know what? No matter what you do here, it's temporary, and it's a light affliction, like what Paul called. He was stoned to death a few times, bit by a viper and thrown into jail and rat infested. And he goes, oh, these momentary light afflictions. We're doing okay.
Yeah.
And it's irrelevant. Now think of that. Now, 100 years from now, you'll be like, oh man, I'm glad I listened to God. And then 100 years from then, oh, I'm glad I listened to God.
Right.
And then 100 years from then, oh, I'm glad I listened to God.
A billion years. Yeah.
Another 1,000 years. Oh, glad I listened to God. Oh, 1,000,000 years. Oh, I'm sure. I'm glad I listened to God.
Amen.
What is this life? Amen. You know, we're, this is what we're here for.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, she's also got another one here. I want to, again, this is Darlene Russo. Darlene, we really do appreciate you being a part of the channel. Yeah, we appreciate you. We really do. And I hope you continue to write, you know, and invite your friends. Tell them to join us too. Now, she says, if you are a believer, this is the worst it will ever be in this world. If you're not the only chances to make it the best, it'll be because for a long time it won't. Now, that's hard for me to decipher a lot of that. I understand what you're saying. Trust me. I understand what you're saying.
That's AI trying to write it. She probably spoke into Google's
face. Exactly.
But
yeah,
here, I'll read the second question. Yeah. If you are not, the only chance is to make it the best it'll be because for a long time it won't. So, she's trying to say, hey, just do what God said.
She's saying get on the boat really before bad. It takes off. You know, get on the airplane before it leaves. You know, join us before the rapture occurs because it's not going to get better. I mean, everybody in the world right now is talking about a two-state solution. God is not going to approve a two-state solution. I hate to say that, but as a member of the U.S. Press Association and as someone who has studied the Bible, I can tell you that God does. He said that Jerusalem's not going to get split, you know, I mean, and give this to the Palestinians and this part to the Jews and then this come by Yah from there. That's not going to happen, ever. It's not going to happen. And anybody that tells you that, I'm going to go out on a limb here, David. And you can you can spank me if you want to when I say this. But anybody that tells you that a two-state solution is inevitable, that's the only way it's going to happen, they're not a Christian, they're not going to heaven, they're going to hell, period, the end, unless they give their life to Jesus Christ and accept him and go back on that crap. Because all they're talking, they're trying to make the world believe in something that is not possible. It's not ever going to happen, the end. Now you can correct me if you want to.
Well, I can polish it up a bit. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. So that in itself is not the salvation issue. It is indicative of your heart being unsaved. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what he's trying to say. If you're thinking that the two-state solution is going to be there, it's just clear evidence that you're not saved.
Right. Yeah. I was too brutal. I got it.
I get what you're saying, but I think just so they understand, you know, it's kind of like, that translation there.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's just indicative of where you're at. Because
if you
clearly don't understand the word, so you are making up a God of your own little fashion there. Oh, my God loves everybody. Okay, the God of the universe does as well, but most of them are going to hell. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of what he does.
Right.
Absolutely. Because of what you do.
Yeah.
So that's just indicative of the way your heart is.
All right, let's look at Philip Earl Evans and his comment. Do you have that comment over there?
Subject of Thessalonians?
Yeah. Subject of 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 is the dead in Christ and how living believers will reunite with them on that day. The sorrow not of verse 13 corresponds with the comfort. I believe we're kind of going back to what we had talked about in the previous couple of shows there,
it
right?
It sounds kosher so far. Let's keep reading.
Okay. Go ahead. For whatever reason, it won't pull up here on my screen.
Really?
The remainder is comment.
If other details about that day are omitted from those verses because they have nothing to do with the subject. Okay. This is a separate thing? Heaven must receive Jesus Christ until the times of restitution of all things. Okay. Begin to act. Yep. Therefore, the Lord will not descend from heaven until the times of restitution, which God's spoken. Yeah. So he's not coming down to the earth. That's correct. But he's coming to the earth.
Yeah.
All right. We meet him in the air. He doesn't come all the way in. And I think, you know, to differentiate, the rapture, he's coming. We're going to meet him halfway. We're going to rise up in the air and meet him.
Right.
He's not coming down earth because that's when he's going to take out the sword. We're going to come with him behind him with the white robes. It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to restore everything at that point. And that will be the millennial reign from that point. But you got to understand it's two different events.
Right.
The rapture is one event where we go to meet him halfway in the clouds. And then just like Isaac and Rebecca. And then the other event is when we come back with him. And that's when he rules and reigns. Right. So, yeah, again, you can't get mad at people because they're but they're mixing the two together. Okay, two stories together.
It finally popped up here on my screen. But whatever reason, the computer was slow before. But it says that heaven must receive Jesus Christ until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And then he gives the scripture there of Acts 3, 20 and 21. So I think it's fair for us to look at Acts 3.
All right.
20 and 21. And in the New King James Edition, and I will allow you, of course, to go to another, I'm going to start back in verse 19. And it says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And I could go on and on, but I want you to comment on that, David, or take it however you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear. He's talking about the prophets and Moses and everything's come down. And just like we said, it's till the rest. Yeah, he will be in the heaven until the times of the restitution. Okay, well, that is where we're heading. The rapture is the beginning of the restitution, because now you got that 7 years to deal with Israel and then do it. So you're thinking that the times of restitution is like on 5 o'clock on Thursday. No, it's a time frame.
Right.
It's a time frame. Just like the end of the age of the law was when Jesus came. And but the time frame started when he was a baby. Then he grew up. He became rabbi. And then he became the savior. He was died and resurrected. And it wasn't until 75 AD where the Jewish council said that, okay, now, because the Azazel goat, they would send the Azazel goat out with a scarlet thread on it and would come back white. And one went off the cliff and the other one would come back white, and the thread would turn white on the door. So it's really interesting, but it stopped. Okay. Yeah. So, and that's when they're like, oh, well, now the sacrifice in the temple is good deeds now. So it wasn't really, it was 75 years in the making from that whole end of the age thing. It's like a relay race. When you're running a relay race, you're the first leg of the relay race. You don't just go bang and then you hand it off to the next guy.
Right.
You're running together for a while.
Right.
All right. You run together for a spell, and that's when you hand everything off. And that's what's going to happen here.
Right.
The end of this age. Okay. Yes, it is a dispensation. Don't argue with me about it. Study it for 44 years. It's a dispensation. Okay. We have different time frames.
Okay.
And I could prove 1,000 different scriptures. I see there's people on there. Oh, you dispensationalist. Yeah. Because that's what the Bible says. So we can see that relay race, and it's going to be a time where we're handing off to the next age.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, the time of restitution of all things is here.
Okay.
This is that age. The rapture is part of that.
Right.
And then when he comes back to earth, that's going to be okay. From this day forward, it's going to be a little bit different.
Okay.
All right. Okay. But it's going to be a transition period until then. And you know, the beginning of millennium, what are you going to all of a sudden have cities and things all over the place? No, the world's going to be destroyed. Yeah. So you got to rebuild it. You got to start from scratch again. So that's going to take a little time to get all that going.
Yeah. Now, also in his comment, again, this is Philip Evans, 6448. He's got another point he wants to make here. Therefore, the Lord will not descend from heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, until the times of restitution of all things.
Yeah, that's what we just spoke about.
Yeah, which God spoke in the mouth of holy prophets since the world began. And and he makes a point right here that I agree with 1,000%. And is, God has not altered his plan for the church. And he is not going to.
Right. You may have a misunderstanding of his plan for the church, though, right. But he certainly did not change his.
Absolutely. Mm. And then lastly, he said, the hour of temptation is for all the world and not just the Jews, as some would have us believe. And there he points to Revelation 3, verse 10. And he wants to compare that to John 17:15. Do we have time to do that in the first half of the show, or should we save it for the second?
Yeah, let's pull it up. But yeah, Revelation 3:10 is talking to the churches, and he says it will come upon all the world. This is not a contention. What you got to contend is who's actually in the world at that time. But we'll talk about that.
Okay. And let's see. So we'll get back to that one. We'll get back to that one. We're just running really, really low on time here for the first half of the show, but we will get back to it. Let's see. I'll
pull it up now.
Yeah.
It's all good. So even we might as well just read it so people can get ready for it.
Sure, go ahead.
I pray not, John 17:15, that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that should keep them from evil. Okay, for they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. All right. So yeah, he's praying for his disciples there. We'll talk about that and that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay.
The Jews, he's going to protect through it.
Right.
And
we are basically out of time for the first half of the show, but we're going to take that up again in the second half. So hang in there with us. We got some other comments that we're going to get to as well. You know, people want to, I told you this before we got started, David. I don't care what the position is of people, whether or not they believe in God or say they do or not. Or whether they believe in the rapture, or say they do, or not. But I put rapture up on here on, you know, whenever we put a title screen up, and boom, here they come. Here they come, you know, and it's the same way on all the radio stations and everything else. And it's because people want to know. And most people, I'm going to say all people know in their heart there is an eternity and there is a God. They just, for whatever reason, they just don't want to accept him, and you need to. And we're going to tell you how to do that in the second half of the show as well. We want you to hang in there with us. We'll be back after a very short break with the second half of Last Christian. Remember, www.lastchristian.net if you want to see it in visual form. We'll be right back.
As China celebrates its new year, which begins in February, Chinese Christians are braced for a year of growing persecution, targeting children and Christian families. School children who admit their faith are being required by the Communist Party to sign a declaration that they will renounce Christianity. Release International supports persecuted Christians around the world. Bob Fu is RI's China partner.
For the first time, millions of Chinese children are forced to sign a form, these Christian children, to renounce their faith in public. The teachers, the children, all have to mark whether they are Christians or not. And if they admit it, they are Christians, then they were asked to sign a Communist Party Propaganda Department form to renounce their faith. And if the parents and grandparents are not working hard or refuse to cooperate to make their children denounce their faith, then their job security would be jeopardized. We have received cases showing even grandparents would lose their public health and public welfare if they did not dissuade them from believing Christianity.
One mother who was holding a Sunday school class for her five children at home found herself surrounded by police and arrested after her husband betrayed her to the authorities. Release International's 2024 Persecution Trends Report reveals persecution is deepening in China. Some state-registered churches have been prevented from meeting, their pastors arrested, and their crosses torn down. Many Christians have to gather in secret to experience any freedom of worship. They risk surveillance and arrest. Release International's partners say the persecution of Christians in China is every bit as bad as the dark days of the Cultural Revolution. In the words of Bob Fu, the Communist Party has declared war against the cross. The authorities appear increasingly desperate to stop the rapid growth of Christianity in China, where some say there are now more Christians than communists.
Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me from New York City is my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. David, I want to get right back to the comments that we were talking about here. This is Philip Evans, 6448. Got some great, great comments here. Now, he says that the hour of temptation is for all the world. I agree with that 100%. Mm-hmm. And not just the Jews, as some would have us believe. And then he wants us to look at, in a little bit closer, Revelation 3:10, and then compare mm-hmm. that to John 17:15. And you had just begun yep. to talk about it, so I'm gonna let you take off with that one, and we'll see where this goes.
Yeah, I mean, we started in John. You know, mm-hmm. I like to back into things.
Okay.
17:50, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from evil, for they are not of the world, even as I am. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah. But who's he talking about, and who's he talking to? Okay.
Okay.
He's alive at that point. There was no ecclesia, and this mm-hmm. this was before the chicken event.
Okay.
So Jews still had the opportunity to receive their Messiah
right.
when he's speaking this.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, yeah, but you should keep them from the evil. I mean, that just makes sense. Yeah, don't take them out of the world, but keep them in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see what the problem is, other than what he's trying to say is, oh, that means there's no rapture. He's not going to take his church out. Well, you got to remember the rapture is a different event for different people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just like Enoch went up and he was raptured out, but Noah was protected in the ark through all the trouble that was going mm-hmm. on in the world. Mm-hmm. So I 100% agree that, yeah, he's going to protect them. He's going to protect the Jews because they're going to be over in Petra, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's mm-hmm. the but he talks about that. Hey, he's going to put them in there. He's going to cover them with his wings, and they're all going to be protected mm-hmm. once they receive him as a savior. 2/3 will be gone before then, but then the ones that repent, he's going to protect them.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Don't take them out, but protect them through, because they're the ones that are going to rule and reign physically on the earth with Jesus, while the church is the ecclesia. And remember, we have to go and say, it wasn't until long after this that Paul's like, there is a mystery, and I'm going to reveal it to you now.
Yes, right.
So how many years later was that?
Ooh,
a lot, because he went away for a little bit.
Yeah,
didn't
yeah. He? Uh-huh, yeah.
And he was studying in the wilderness mm-hmm. for a decade or so.
Yeah,
uh-huh,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this was clearly after that. So that's what I'm talking about. They're conflating the two destinies for the two different people groups.
And okay? I think that's what he's getting at here, because he said compare the two. He wanted that comparison. Yep. He wanted us to talk about the comparison. So whenever you look at what he was talking about in Revelation, and this is while the mm-hmm. church is still on the earth, because we're in Revelation 3. Right. Now, I'm going to start, this is a New King James Version, and then you can break it down to whatever you feel like we need to really focus in on here.
Yeah, that's right.
But this is all about the faithful church. And by the way, there wasn't many of those mentioned, of two in Revelation. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, He who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens, I know your works. See, I have set you before an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. I'm going to stop right there, even though we're not down to his question yet. I'm going to stop right there and let you kind of explain that, because there's a lot of meat in there, David. There's a bunch.
Which one you want? Where do you want to start?
We're going to start in yeah. Just you pick it. You pick it. I mean, I would start like around 8. You know, verse 8 maybe. Okay. But you might want to back up even more than that.
Well, we got, who is this written to? And it's a church of Philadelphia. So let me give it. There's people may or may not know that the seven churches that are laid out throughout Revelation not only were churches at that time. They were representative of the entire church age.
Right.
And
including us.
Most, all through the last 2,000 years.
Right.
So, and it's representative of what the church would look like at that time. And this was Philadelphia. This is the second to last. Laodicea is the last, and that's what we're in now, Laodicea. Philadelphia is brotherly love. So it's a town of brotherly love. So we saw that church for a while with Spurgeon and that whole thing. And then it started to move in. Now we're into Laodicea. Mm-hmm. And it was not just Spurgeon. There's so many. My mind is like, okay,
sure.
Stop. You're like traffic jam in there. But we saw them. There was so many. And there was worldwide evangelism. And they were great. And we see that, but now we see the Laodicean church, and more in America than anywhere else we see it. And they think that they have everything, and we're coming to it. But he's telling them, listen, and they started, like Derek Prince started preaching about the second coming of Christ, and he was part of that last Philadelphia one over there. Mm-hmm. But he started preaching because it says here, you know, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Mm-hmm. And just like a relay race, some of these overlap. And there's little bits of each type of church all through the ages, but basically the bulk of it is, you know, laid out exactly as it is. And if the churches were in any other order, it wouldn't be that way. It's really wild.
Yeah.
When you look at it from that perspective. All right. So we're in Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love, and he's talking to him. Behold, you know, I set you an open door and no man can shut it. And that's what they had. They had miracles. They had all sorts of crusades. They had all sorts of things. You have kept my word and do not deny my name. Then I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and not, but lie. And behold, I will make them come to worship before thy feet to know that I love thee. That has so many people with so many different interpretations.
Yeah, and I'm interested in what your interpretation or what your understanding of that is, because I'm even confused about that as far as they say they're Jews and not. The first thing that jumps into my mind, tell me if it's even close, okay? The first thing that jumps in my mind there is people that are not born Jewish. And then, I'm throwing this name out there, and I'm just throwing it out there just because it has nothing to do with anything. Sammy Davis Jr., okay? He became a Jew. He professed to be Jewish. Is that what they're talking about here? People that profess to be Jews, but they're not?
Well, there's a couple of postulations. Both of them are very good that I can see now. Okay. One of them being that what they call the Ashkenazi Jews, some people say that they are not. That they're descendants probably of the Scythians or something like that. But they say, hey, they're not the real Jews. And they came to take over Zion and call them Zionists. So there's a lot of that. And then there are some that will say the Messianic Christians, like the Hebrew roots, they try to pretend that they're Jewish.
Okay.
Okay. So they would pretend, but they're really not, because now what you're doing is you're saying, okay, Jesus made a new contract for me, and so I'm going to live in a new contract. Oh, but no, Jesus, I don't think your contract's good enough, so I'm going to go back to the old contract.
Okay.
And then they're saying they're Jews, but they're really not. And he says, don't put new wine into old wineskins, because it'll just bust.
Right.
So now you're taking a new wine that Jesus has, and you're putting it back into the law. And that is really bad. So, and you're not a Jew.
Yeah.
I kind of lean more in that direction. But I still have to do a lot of study on it, to be honest. But I kind of lean more toward the people that are pretending to be Jews when they really aren't.
Right. Okay. So I'm sort of on the right track anyway. That's good to know.
Yeah. You pick one guy, but it's kind of a group of people.
I was just using that one individual and that one name just as an example, not him only or something like that. You know, just an example.
Right.
Okay. Now,
our buddy here was actually, Philip was actually talking not about that. He was talking about temptation which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Man, I 100% agree. I mean, it's clear. It's right there.
Yeah.
And but what you're not seeing...
The comparison, David, is what I wanted to get to here. And that is in verse 11, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem. There's that Jerusalem again, for those of you that are keeping up with us, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. But up here it says, because you have kept, and I'm in verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. Which shall, not might, but shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So in that, it is, I see that very clearly as stating the church is gone. I'm taking you out in advance where you don't have to go through what the whole world is going through. Am I reading that correctly?
You have to read the word. This is ek, okay?
Okay.
And here, let me pull it up in the Greek. So, it's right. It will come upon the whole world, but that doesn't mean everybody who ever lived is in the world at the time that it happens.
Right, exactly.
And I think what you're trying to say, that means that, we're not going to be raptured out because it comes upon the whole world. Well, if you're still here, it comes upon the whole world.
Well, that's clear.
But we're not going to be here.
That is clear verse. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world.
The word from is the word ek. So it does not say I will keep you safe during the time of trial that's coming upon the whole world.
Okay.
It literally says in the Greek, I will take you out from the trial that's coming on the whole world.
Okay. That's even clearer.
The word is ek.
Okay. That's even better. Okay.
So ek means out.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. It's not from like the King James. It's not any of that. It's ek. I will keep you out of the hour of temptation. So it's actually proving our point. We will be taken out. Philadelphia will be taken out, which also implies that if you don't keep the word of his patience, that you will go through tribulation. Because obviously the opposite must be true. But because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep you out of the hour of temptation. So if you don't keep the word of temptation, he's not going to keep you out of the hour of temptation.
Right. Okay. I agree. I think we're on the same page there, and I think that kind of hammered that home a little bit. Now, we got a comment here, which every now and then we come across somebody that, being polite in saying this is smart butt. Okay, is basically the best way I can describe it. But it needs to be read anyway. This is Armored Saint. And he said, I've seen that posted on some nurseries. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He's trying to
That's, he's being cute.
Yeah, he's trying to be cute, but what he needs to understand is his knee's going to bow, and he is going to profess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I don't think he was being malicious.
You don't? I do, but maybe I'm missing it. What am I missing?
No, that's actually an old thing, and they would put it on the nurseries. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Okay, so he's saying that. Okay,
I put that outside the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed because okay. He's being cute.
All right, well, my apologies to Armored Saint there. Okay.
He didn't put an LOL at the end.
Yeah, so. Yeah, right, exactly.
That's great. I love that, actually. You're good, Armored Saint.
David corrected me for you, so you can pat him on the back, send him a message. Real quick before we go on, I do want to again mention to everybody that we are going to be attending a conference in Dallas, mm-hmm. and that's coming up April the 5th through the 8th. I can't remember the name of the hotel right off the top of my head.
Oh, Dave, yeah. It's in Grapevine. We'll find it. But you can find it on hearthewatchmen.com. Hear the Watchmen. Mm-hmm. Use the code LastChristian, and you will get $10 off. We're also going to stay through the 8th and watch the eclipse. And who knows? Maybe we'll be raptured at that time.
Who knows? Yeah.
But we're going to stay and watch that because it goes right overhead. And we can even talk about that a little bit.
Why not?
You want to delve into a rabbit hole right now?
Sure. Go ahead. Why not?
Okay. So you remember Nineveh and this guy named Jonah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Jonah didn't want to go where he was told to go. I know that for sure. That was a mistake.
Yeah. There's more to the story.
Right.
It's a lot because what they don't tell you in there, but where is everywhere else, Nineveh was a big temple to Dagon, the fish god.
Okay.
And that was the Pergamos. That was a perverted marriage that, became the Catholic Church. That's why they wear the fish hats. Remember, Dagon and the fish thing?
Right.
And then the purse. They always carried a purse, which is why the Pope carries a purse thing around. Anyway, so they worship Dagon. And just before Jonah came, because he's calling them to repent, and people think, oh, God just sends somebody and this and that. No, he speaks through the stars as well. So check this out. This is so cool. Here is, before that happened, they had a full eclipse because they worshiped the sun, they worshiped Dagon, and there was a full-on eclipse right over Nineveh, just days before Jonah was about to show up. God was smart in his timing. You say, well, I know he's going to go somewhere else, so let me start a little earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they see this eclipse, and they feel this is a sign from their God that judgment is coming, because that's what they all believed back then. And I tend to agree with that too, because it shows what God set all the stars up to at the exact moment to have all these judgments come, and he sends signs. He says for signs, for seasons, for feast days and everything else. So it's clearly from God. So they understood this, and now they're looking to repent. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, what do we do? We don't want our city to be completely destroyed. All right. Mm-hmm. Now they worship this fish god, right? So what happens? Jonah comes up, and this giant fish spits him out onto the beach. And they're like, ah! The fish god sent someone. And that's why the leader's like, everybody, the whole place, we're all going to repent. I promise, we're all going to repent. Mm-hmm. So, but it started with the eclipse.
Ah, okay.
It was a sign of God's judgment. Mm-hmm. So there are seven towns precisely on the path in America called Nineveh.
Okay, you want to?
Yeah, there. In other words, like Nineveh, New York, and Ohio, and there's seven of them that, like, directly along the path that the eclipse will go directly over. Did seven cities in Nineveh in the United States. Seven. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Anytime you see seven, for those of you listening, mm-hmm. anytime you see seven, you need to pay attention to it.
Right. So a lot of people are looking up. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's making a cross directly over the United States from 2014, which was, or no, 2017, excuse mm-hmm. me, which was 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we had one going this way, the mm-hmm. eclipse. Remember that one?
Yep.
2017.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Now we got one going this way. Mm-hmm. And so it's making a big cross, crossing seven towns named Nineveh. It's like, people, wake up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Now, I don't think it'll be that day because it was always a sign of what's coming like next.
Yeah. And again, I was just going to repeat that again, David. We're not calling our shot. David's not calling the shot, you know, but you need to be ready. Jesus says mm-hmm. be ready. Now, one thing that you mentioned earlier, and I think we need to get into it a little bit because we're basically done with the comments now, I think.
All right.
Unless you see one that I haven't seen. You mentioned the lukewarm church.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you to some degree that America is the lukewarm church now, but I think we're falling out of that.
We are indicative of it, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're falling out of that category. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, obviously. But mm-hmm. Can you explain to people who haven't, who don't understand the difference, what the lukewarm church is, really?
Well, lukewarm is, Laodicea is interesting in a number of things. Leo is people, and Dicea means make the rules. And you'll notice a few things. So this is the church where people are making the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, not God. Like they're not following the Bible. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's not Bible. So that right out of the gate, that's what you see. Laodicea means, okay, you people are making the rules. You kind of counting me out. We mm-hmm. even see that in churches today. Oh, we got a board. We're going to vote on it.
Right.
No, what does the Bible say? All right.
Right.
So, and here we are in the, and you'll notice all the other churches. To the church in Sardis, to the church in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. to the church in. Mm-hmm. What does it say to the church of the Laodiceans?
It says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right?
Right, the church of the Laodiceans, mm-hmm. not the church in Laodicea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Saying, this isn't my church.
Yeah, right, right.
It's a church of the Laodiceans.
Yeah, and okay. that's not necessarily, yeah. yeah. And we've got a lot of denominations here I would call not a, you know.
Yeah, yeah, the vast majority of churches yeah. Yeah. are not his church. It's yeah. as simple as that.
Yeah, they'll still be holding church yeah. on Sunday following the rapture, by the way.
Yeah, they'll be there and go, hey, Billy.
A few people miss it, but not many.
No. Billy's always right here. What happened? All right. And another thing about Laodicea is they had a hot spring, which was like up the hill a little bit. And by the time it got down to the town, it lost all its heat. So it wasn't cold. It wasn't refreshing. Mm-hmm. It was lukewarm. It was just nasty. You couldn't drink it. You couldn't use yeah. it for anything.
Okay.
So he is pointing that out that, okay, I'm going to use this metaphor because mm-hmm. you're a lukewarm. You're not yeah. hot or cold.
Yeah,
I'm just going to spit you out of my mouth. And literally it says vomit. I'll vomit you out of my mouth because the water was that bad. It would vomit you out of my mouth.
Well, let's read
imagine
it. Let's read it.
Sauna water.
Let's read it. Yeah. This is Revelation, and this is chapter 3. And mm-hmm. this is the lukewarm church in beginning in verse number 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You were talking about, you know, these people doing, making up their own rules. There's a lot of denominations around the world that are making up their own rules. Okay. One of them has a supreme leader, and I'm not talking about the Ayatollah in Iran either. I'm just talking about a supposed Christian,
the false prophet.
Yeah. that makes up the rules and changes the Bible and says that he's infallible. Okay. Well, he's not infallible. Mm-hmm. The only infallible has been here already, and that's Jesus Christ. If you pray with a priest, that's okay to pray with a priest, by the way, but I'm talking about for salvation purposes. If you put
through him as opposed to with him.
Right. If you think that a priest is going to save you, he's not. The only way to come to the Father, Jesus said it. He made it clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's clear. So don't pray to your priest for salvation. Instead, go to God himself and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I am. And I ask for your forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. I know that he died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose again. I know he's coming back. And I want to serve you all the days of my life, whatever's left. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. If you'll pray a simple prayer like that in your own words, you will be saved. You're not going to have to worry about it. It's just like it says here, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. I think that's pretty clean. You know, you're going to have to listen, or you're going to regret that you didn't. David, go ahead and close us out today.
Yeah, this is, do you have an ear? I got an ear. Well, your commandment is to listen. Mm-hmm. All right, and if you're not, you got a problem. Now, I find it interesting. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So Jesus is outside of the church knocking, just in case anyone inside is listening. Mm-hmm. All right. So open the door, let him in, and then you can sup together. You can dine together. What a beautiful thing. Amen. We talk about the Last Supper all the time. Mm-hmm. The Last Supper is actually the first half of the marriage supper. And we'll continue that marriage supper again with the bread and the wine when we get to heaven, and we'll, that's what that 7 years is for. We're going to have that whole big marriage supper. Amen. And it's going to be absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. That's what he's talking about. I'm knocking on the door. Okay. Right. This, it may not be in your church. Now, granted, there are some churches that are real and they have this, but as a whole, it's not there. Right. So really listen to the Lord and then let him come in. And he's saying one of two things, repent. Mm-hmm. Okay. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and he'll take that blood contract that he made and say, okay, this is now your contract. He covers your sins with that. They're blotted out. Like in Colossians 2:14, it says he blotted out the transgressions and ordinances that were written against us. Amen. You no longer have any sin with him. That's why you can get into heaven. It's not like he's throwing you out. He's like, you have been, you're already out. I'm about to let you in. Yeah. So in your heart, in your mind, just say, Jesus, I love you. Mm-hmm. I want to be with you for eternity. I'm letting you in.
Amen.
There we go.
Well, that's a perfect ending for this show. We hope that you'll join us next week. We'll continue the discussion. Y'all keep signing up. Keep sending us comments. We'll gladly answer. Till next time. Right. Good night.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.